Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers along with the 12 began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put under the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. And if any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure will be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts his seed upon the soil, and goes to bed at night and gets up by the day, and the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it's smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with him, that just as he was in the boat and the other boats with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. So the parable of the sower is the parable of all parables. If you can understand the parable of the sower, you will understand every other parable that's laid out here. And it's unique in that it's the only one that actually begins and ends with the command to listen. Very, very clear. This parable will explain all the other parables. And it's simply in this way, because if they don't understand this one, they actually won't understand any of them. That's what Jesus says in verse 13 here. And so it's this parable. This parable is about how parables are understood. That's basically what Jesus is saying. This parable is how all parables are supposed to be understood. It's a parable about sowing the seed, and as he is speaking it, he's actually doing it right now. So what happens in this, the seed in the parables, okay, in the real world? Some fall on the path, they're eaten by birds. Some fall on rocky soil and comes up quickly, but withers when the sun comes up. Some fall among weeds and is choked out, and some fall on rich ground and it thrives. So he shares this parable, and that's it, right? No further explanation, no public explanation. It's just a story. But this is the key. How do you know the soil here? It's in a simple way, right, that the idea is if you don't engage with the parable, you'll never get it. Notice the crowd doesn't ask Jesus about this parable. Who asked Jesus about the parable? The disciples do. In other words, the disciples are the fourth seed. See, everyone else, they don't even bother. That's what this story is about. They're not willing to engage Jesus in this story. The proper question would have been, Lord, what do you mean by this? Or, Lord, are you talking about me? Or, Lord, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about what this means? And notice the crowd doesn't ask any of them, because the crowd is seed one, seed two, and seed three. This also goes alongside in our reading of the scriptures. The reality is the word of God is to be engaged. And we talked about it on Sunday a little bit. It's not just simply to be read like some kind of novel. It's not just another library book that you pick up. It's the word of God. And by the word of God, it's something to be engaged. That's how you know what kind of soil that you have, right? And the soil is not permanent. It's not like, okay, you know, I'm seed one. Okay, that's the end of my life. No, it doesn't work like that. And so the greatest strength of these parables, in many ways, is also the greatest weakness, right? Parables demand interaction. By the very nature, they reveal the character of the person who listens or the person who doesn't listen, right? The parables are actually a primary lesson and indictment on the hearers, right? No one asks except the disciples. And so it's important that he's sending them out to preach. And then all four Gospels actually quote Isaiah chapter 6. This is when he says in verse 12, while seeing, that is Jeremiah, right? While seeing, they may see, not perceive. While hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven. And so this is, right, the idea is that every time this parable is he's sharing a parable, right, the prophecy is being fulfilled in this place. The context, right, of the passage is really dealing with Israel's refusal to believe. This is in Jeremiah, the Isaiah passage. That's what he's getting to in the heart of this. And when they ask, he just simply explains to them. He says, some soil along the path get eaten by Satan because of their refusal to hear. Some soil is rocky and sprouts up because of their refusal to hear, they fall away. Some soil has thorns, right, and are warned not to let the words of the world or greed choke them out, but they refuse to hear. And then the last one, obviously, you know, good things happen, right? Because they hear, and just incredible fruit comes as a result. You know, verse 17 says, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And so Mark will add this special note because, remember, he's speaking to the Romans that are encountering a tremendous amount of persecution. when they hear this parable and hear the explanation that Mark lays out, they would have been very encouraged. This would have been Mark and Peter's way of telling them, persevere, right? You can get through this. And then he goes into another parable, right? So this is now a private conversation. And then the lesson now shifts to light. It's actually the same thing, right? Just in case the apostles didn't grasp the first parable, right? Jesus talks about the truth and basically light. Light is meant to shine. It's just a very simple thing. You know, light is meant to illuminate. It's set up on stands. They reveal what is hidden in the darkness. Parables are exactly the same. They reveal things that are in our hearts. The parables are the vehicles for illumination, right? By their very nature, they shine, but there will always be people who shove them under their beds or cover them up. It's like the first three soil that's laid out before. Parables speak and they shine, right? The word has power. And notice what he does. So he tells them that the apostles are getting it. Why? Because they're simply engaging. That's all we have to do. There's something in us that says, okay, reading is not enough. I want to engage. And so they simply engage. And then he tells them in the next parable, the parable of the seed. Look what he says. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night, it gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How himself he does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. And so he begins to just share very simply, because now you can imagine as apostles, well, gosh, I don't know if I should like share. You know, should I share so freely if only 25% of the mess? No, you should. Right, because the seed always grows. This is one of those things. The seed, like the farmer, he puts the seed in, he goes to bed, he wakes up, and it grows. Seed is meant to grow. These are the passages of Scripture which says, "My word does not return void." It will accomplish the purpose that he set out for it. And so our job as disciples are to sow seed. We don't have to be so concerned about soil one, soil two, soil three, soil four. And we get bent out of shape about that. We just do our job and we cast the seed and allow God to do the rest. And in fact, and then he encourages them even more. And he says the next parable, and he says, and how should we picture the kingdom of God? Or what by parable should we present it? It's like a mustard seed. Right, the tiniest. Now, the reason why Mark and the Bible, during this time, the mustard seed was considered the smallest seed known to mankind. Now we know there's different seeds that are even smaller, but in this time in Palestine, the mustard seed was the smallest known seed to man. And so he uses the smallest seed, and even this mustard seed actually grows up into something that actually gets pretty large. And so he's just saying, it's the encouragement again, just sow the seed. It doesn't matter how small it is, how big it is, just sow the seed, right? Let God do this thing. Remember, Paul says, right, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that was causing the growth. And we see this, a little tiny grain can have an enormous effect. The kingdom is like that. And so this is why we need to have confidence in the seed. This is important. The seed is what's valuable, right? The soil are people's hearts. And so, but we are responsible for the seed. And so we just sow these seeds wherever it goes. It's a really simple thing. And then the last thing here on 35 and 41, it kind of ends with a demonic attack. And you know, I sat there and pondered. I was like, oh, you know, again, see, I'm engaging with the text, right? You know, I mean, we have all these, like, four parables just about in a row, three parables in a row about seed, and it's the same thing. And then all of a sudden, it ends with this storm. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. And it could be, you know, I think it could be a way of just humbling the disciples in a certain way. And so the gospel talks about two different storms in the Sea of Galilee. The second is in chapter 6, and that's just a wind, a contrary wind, so we don't have to deal with that so much. But this one is really serious. In fact, one of the gospel writers calls it the Iraculo, which is like a really serious, serious storm. Remember, this storm is so bad, and it's so serious and so deadly that seasoned fishermen that spent their whole life on the sea are scared for their life because this is a demonic storm. And we know that it's a demonic storm because remember what Jesus says when they wake Jesus up? He goes out, and just like he does to demons, and by the way, this is kind of a side note. Whenever you see this, you can recognize he's speaking to demonic entities. He rebukes them. Jesus doesn't rebuke just anybody, right, or anything. Jesus always rebukes demonic things. And so he rebukes the wind. He says, hush, be still. He rebukes it, right? Just like he rebuked the fever for Peter's mother-in-law because it was a spirit that was operating. And so he rebukes it, and then the demonic storm basically dies down. The disciples are terrified. And look what he says in verse 40. Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? And you can imagine, you know, after Jesus is explaining these parables, and this is just my thought, right? Just that they're thinking, oh, we got this now, right? We got this. We're like, okay, yeah, we're the fourth soil, right? This is what he's been talking about, man. We're in and all this stuff. And then next thing you know, this demonic adventure happens, and they basically have to humble themselves. And they realize, oh, actually, we have a long way to go in really understanding this whole thing, right? The Sea of Galilee, just a fascinating lake, and I hope that we get to go back soon. I kind of miss going to Israel now, and so maybe I don't know, maybe end of this year we can try to figure something out. So let's close our eyes. Soil number one, soil number two, soil number three, soil number four. The first three, the common thread is their refusal to hear. I think you can change your soil. I think it takes the work of the Spirit alongside the alignment of our hearts. Brothers and sisters, be people that engage with His Word. When things happen in our lives, say, Lord, what are you doing? You know what I mean? When bad circumstances come, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing in the midst of this? Instead of, oh, well, or God, I hate you. I can't believe you're doing this to me. I thought you loved me. See, there's an engagement. It's the receptivity of the heart, right? Be willing to hear what the Lord is saying to us through His Word, through our life, through circumstances, right? Let's create, align our hearts. Let's make our hearts, our soil, receptive to what He has in mind for us. That's really what this fasting season is about in many ways. It's cultivating the ground of our hearts that it would be receptive to what God has to say to us.
Pressing. trust you, don't need to understand. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. Keep here with nothing but all
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for receptive hearts to receive His words in our life. Let's pray for hearts that engage the Spirit, that just doesn't sit on the sideline and just let things slide or let things happen. But let's be people that really respond and interact with the Scriptures, with the Spirit. Let's be inquisitive. That's what the fourth soil is. Right? Let's engage. Let's do that even now. This morning, let's pray for our sister churches in Singapore, in Korea, in Tokyo. Let's ask God to bless our leaders, our pastors, Pastor Nate and Chungmin and Sam. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be with their board and their leaders, their house church leaders, that a really significant ministry would happen in these cities, and you know, especially in Korea, where there's just so much turmoil right now. Let's just really cover and just pray that P-Nate and the leaders would really be able to bring a lot of light into a very difficult situation there. Let's lift up. And as a church focus, let's pray over our education department. Let's pray for Caleb. Let's pray for Lisa and Marion. Let's lift up our youth group. Let's lift up our kids, our babies. Let's just ask God to really form them into this good soil. Let it start right now in every Sunday, every Friday night. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Hazel and Addie. Let's pray that God will just continue to minister and touch Hazel and heal her. And let's pray for Addie as well. Let's pray that her kidney function would come back in full life. Let's lift up. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for Elaine Wu. Let's pray for family salvation and good family health. Let's pray for just guidance in her career that will be led by the Lord and just blessings in her hometown. Let's lift up Elaine. Let's pray for Heinsohn. Let's pray for his son Diego will understand and forgive his dad, and Diego will go the way that he should go. Let's lift up Heinsohn and his family. Let's pray for Esther Hoy. Pray for complete healing of health issues and renewal of her mind and just over her career, favor, discernment, and bullying to end, and better relationship with siblings and future spouse. Let's lift up.
prayer requests on the floor.